Robin Denslow, and now on the BBC World Service, Studio in the Sand. We're out in the Sahara Desert, in the southwest of Algeria, bouncing across the sand in a 4x4, heading for a state within a state. The refugee camps that are home for the Sahrawis, still exiled from their homeland of Western Sahara in Africa's longest-running territorial dispute. Western Sahara was a Spanish colony until 1975, when Morocco moved in, claiming the territory. Many Sahrawis fled across the border here to Algeria, and from 1976 until 1991, their political and military organisation, the Polisario, was at war with Morocco. For the last 22 years, there's been a ceasefire and a stalemate. Plans for a UN-supervised referendum in the territory have got nowhere. The world's attention may be on Mali, across the Sahara, but this is a tragedy that seems to have been forgotten. Many young people here want to go back to war, but the Polisario are keen to use more peaceful means to publicise their plight. Music. Sahara man I've come here to find out about life in the camps and look at a new music initiative. I was shown round by Mohamed Suleiman, an English student who was born in the camps. This is Rabboni, the administrative centre of the camps. There are a whole bunch of low buildings, radio masks. Mohamed, so tell me what happens around here.
This is like the main headquarters of the Polisario in the state, so you can find like ministries, institutions. The decisions are being taken here.
So the president's office is over there?
Yes, the Minister of Interior Affairs, the Minister of Education as well.
So although we're in southern Algeria, of course, this is really like a state within a state. It's run by the Polisario.
It is. It's like a preparation stage. Once we get our independence, we can have our own state readily built within the exile. Sahara man inside.
I won't forget you, Sahara. An anthem of Sahrawi resistance that's popular in the camps and over the border in what the refugees call occupied Western Sahara, where the establishment of a protest camp at Gedaï Mezik that was pulled down by the Moroccan authorities in 2010 is hailed by many here as the start of the Arab Spring. There's some fine music in the camps, some of it reflecting the internationally popular styles from across the desert in Mali. But technical restraints and the sheer isolation of the region has made it hard for Sahrawi musicians to be heard by the outside world. The few artists who have found international success, like Mariam Hassan, have moved from the camps to Europe. But now there's an initiative by the Sandblast charity to bring leading British music experts here, so local musicians can learn to make high-quality recordings and produce good live sound, with the aim of getting their songs and their political message heard beyond the Sahara. Daniel Smith of Sandblast first visited the camps in 1991. I asked her about the plan to bring 5 mobile sound studios to the desert.
Well, the facilities that exist in the refugee camps are very, very poor quality, first of all. And then the level of skill and knowledge of how to use any technology with music is very, very limited. But the Sahrawis learn very, very quickly. And we've seen that just in the 2 weeks of working with 12 students in the live sound engineering workshop.
And there's our drum kit. So as a mix, that's not too bad. It sounds okay. But we can improve upon that.
And we're right out of the desert here in southwest Algeria. What are the problems working out here for you?
Primarily, there's very little continuous electricity. The camps are very spread out. So we need hardy material that can really handle combat conditions.
So on this trip, we've got Andy Cools, who's a professional live sound engineer.
That's right. Andy Cools has come here for the first time, but he's been great at using practical exercises to really teach them.
And then you've got Sarah McGuinness, who's very well known on the London scene for her Cuban and Congolese bands.
Yes, we're really thrilled to have Sarah McGuinness with us. to basically train Sahrawis here in sound engineering skills for studio recording.
So if you wanted to record a big setup live with say 16 microphones, you could, you know, and
interesting. Here at Al Ayoun, there's a little studio and an echoey mud house. And because there's electricity here, for the moment, Sarah McGuinness has come to hold a class. She explains her project to one of the camp's best-known singers and guitarists, Ali Seda.
And I'm teaching the whole process, really, through sort of organising the sessions, setting up the mics, the whole process of recording, mixing, and then doing a bit of basic mastering and getting the final product out, really. I feel very honoured to be working with people who are so committed and so passionate. So I've got a song in here. If you solo it, S is solo, is it?
Solo.
So this is the guitar.
There are 5 refugee camps like this scattered across the desert. The Polisario say there are now 160,000 refugees. The camps have been here so long they look like little towns with brown mud huts and white or green tents spread out across the desert. There are a few makeshift pens holding goats and camels, and beyond them the vast expanse of the Sahara. I'm standing outside one of the many thousands of mud houses in the camp with Mohamed Suleiman, who's kindly agreed to act as my translator while I'm here. Now, you were born in the camps. What's life like here?
It's the only kind of life I have known. Before I joined the university in Algeria, my parents always told me that I have a land, a country where I would live in the future, hopefully when we get our independence. So it's really difficult for me when I live in such kind of life, and at the same time I think and I dream about going back to my land.
So you keep being told about Western Sahara, but obviously you've never been there.
Yeah, my parents and grandparents keep telling me stories, the animals, the landscapes, the atmosphere, everything is very nice there, as they told me. And I live in this horrible situation, and I can't believe that I'm living in this situation when I have this option of living in my own land.
So how would you describe the mood in the camps then, particularly among young people like yourself?
When they are fed up with the current situation, the non-war, non-peace situation. They're stuck here without anything to do.
There's been a ceasefire in the war between the Polisario and Morocco for, what, nearly 23 years now. Some young people tell me that they're so frustrated, so fed up, they want to go back to fighting. Can you understand that?
I identify with that sense, and I identify with that feeling, because they have been in this kind of situation for a long time that they cannot stand it any longer. But for me, I have a slightly different vision, because I am an English student, but partly also an artist, and I believe the non-violent means, literature, art, music, could be very also effective weapons. If we produce something powerful that would really attract the attention of the international community, we could really tell them the story of the Sahrawi people.
In the 80s, the Moroccans built a 1,600-mile earthen wall, the berm, around the three-quarters of disputed Western Sahara that they control. It's heavily guarded and surrounded by a massive minefield that continues to cause casualties. Along with Mohammed, I watched a marathon run out in the desert in support of the landmine victims, with some of those who've been injured bravely taking part. It ended at a little oasis that houses the Centre for Landmine Victims, with a concert in the hospital grounds. There are men around me here in headscarves, and women in their long robes, the Melfas. And on stage, the area's best-known band, Tiris, is about to sing their exile song, How Beautiful Our River Valley Is. So this is a very popular band then, Mohammed?
It is indeed. They're the celebrities of this society, so everybody knows about these band, Tiris, and the famous singer Shweta singing Mazin Darouad, How Beautiful Our Valley River. It is the longing of Western Sahara and the longing for this valley, which represents the whole region.
I went to meet the celebrity singer of the camps, Shweta, backstage. One of your most famous songs, which you started the concert with, is Look How Beautiful My Valley Is. Mm-hmm. Could you just tell me exactly what the lyrics of that are saying?
Look how beautiful is our valley. It smiles when we come. Whenever we get away, it brings us back, in case we dare to forget it. The valley and its surroundings loved by all of us, because the people living in it do not forget us.
The Sahrawi people speak Hassaniya, an Arabic dialect influenced by Berber languages that's spoken in Western Sahara, Mauritania and parts of surrounding countries. And their music is also a fusion of Arabic melodies and African rhythms, traditionally played on tidnit, lutes and drums, though these days guitars are added in. In the middle of Boujdour camp, there's an immaculate little theatre with carpets and whitewashed walls and slogans in Spanish, Union, Struggle, Freedom. And it's here that students have been practising mixing live sound with help from British sound engineer Andy Cools.
So when the gate isn't triggered, no signal gets through. So basically we're cutting out all that extraneous background noise. On the first couple of days we were outdoors because we couldn't get all that stuff in the room we were using. So we set it up out like on the sand in the desert, and we had paintbrushes to keep all the sand off everything, which I brought with me because I knew that would be an issue. And we've got a couple of gigs coming up in the next few days. So at the end of the first week, I decided to award a torch to the student who I thought had made the most progress in the space of the first 6 days. And it was Shaya, who's shown great kind of understanding and comprehension, almost to the extent that she's showing the others as well now. So I wanted to recognise that, and I awarded her the torch.
And this is Shaya over here behind the behind your mixing equipment. Shaya, hello. Congratulations on winning the torch this week. Why did you decide to come along to the... the classes here?
I was working in administration in the library. Suddenly I got news that I'd been chosen to attend a course in radio training. I hope to become a good technician because, from my point of view, women shouldn't just be at home or a secretary, they should be everything in society.
To find out more about how Shaya, the would-be sound engineer, lives, I've come to the house she shares with her mother, Sida, and her brother. We're in a mud compound with a tent outside. There's carpets on the floor and, of course, there's mint tea. So, Shaya, how would you describe your life in the camp up to now?
Like all refugees in the world, we lack many, many things. It's a difficult life and I have very few material things, very few opportunities. But what I've learnt from my mother is that women can do many, many things and that I should take advantage of any opportunity that comes my way. We have a saying here that what we can't communicate through politics, we can communicate through art and music, because that's what really expresses our feelings, our aspirations, our sufferings. And there you will see our will.
Can I talk to your mother, Sida, over here? Sida, when did you first move to the camps?
I came here in 1979 and I was only 17 years old. And I came here to join the Sahrawi resistance movement. Nobody forced me to come here. We came here because we believed that was what we had to do. And it was the women who built all the institutions in the camps in the beginning, because the men were at the front.
And how long will you wait, though? I mean, you've been here since 1979. It's a long time to wait.
I will wait until I die, and beyond, until we get our land without any presence from colonial occupiers.
And for the moment, though, while you're living here in the camps, how do you feel about Shaya's plans to become a sound engineer? Is that a good idea?
For us, it's very important for our children to be educated and to be cultivated. Our children are the ones who will administrate and own our land, and they have to be ready for that in every way.
Hamida Abdullah was a fighter during the war years and comes from a distinguished musical family. His mother wrote the most celebrated resistance anthem, The Sahara Is Not For Sale, and it was famously performed by his sister.
The song is essentially about the invasion. So the song expresses the suffering people went through during the bombardments, the suffering during the long escape and exile. So it helped to move feelings and encourage people to fight fiercely and defend themselves. While going deep into battle, we, the soldiers, were singing every single chance we had. We passed in cars overtaking and encouraging each other by singing Sahrawi songs out loud. Everyone was drumming and singing these revolutionary songs while going straight to the battlefield. For me, music is very important. Why? Because people learn it by heart. It's not like political speeches that go with the wind. Songs remain in the memory.
The Sahara is not for sale, performed in the mud house where I was staying by Taba and Stiga, two members of the mostly female Polisario Star Band. During my visit, it became clear that women play a crucial role in making music and in running the camps. Islamic fundamentalists may have attempted to change the culture in northern Mali over the border, but there are no such attitudes in this devoutly Muslim society. Fatima Mehdi is president of the women's organisation in the camps.
They are teachers, they are head of commissions, they are responsible of councils. They represent 34% in our parliament. We are trying to make a very new model of state which can permit new society, a new equal society where men and women can share the same opportunities.
So in many ways then, the role of women here is very different to that in many other Muslim countries.
Yes, I think we have a special interpretation of Islam. For example, when we think about Quran, as a Sahrawi woman, we firstly think about how women were in Mahoma's period. Because we think about Khadija, his wife, she was a very important trade woman. This is the example for us.
So when you look across the border then to northern Mali, which is not all that far away across the desert, and you see what's happened with Islamic groups banning music, certainly banning women taking part in music, what's your reaction to all of that?
In our society, if the group doesn't include women, it's not right. Without women, it could not work, in our opinion.
I've come to meet the Prime Minister, Abdel Kader Taleb Omar. He lives in his own compound out in the desert. Outside, the Sahara stretches away to the horizon, but inside the walls here, there's greenery and, of course, the Polisario flag flying, black, white, green and red, with a crescent moon and star. And I'm going in to meet the Prime Minister in his office. Prime Minister, you surely do face very major problems here because many of the young people I've talked to who are born in the camps are getting very, very frustrated because of the lack of progress. They say they're so fed up they want to go back to war.
That's right. That's why the special envoy of the UN, Christopher Ross, has met the young generation here and has also been warning the international community that if there is no solution, there could be a burst of anger, a burst of resentment at any time. And we have been talking to the new generation about the effectiveness of non-violent means.
There's a project at the moment to try to improve the musicianship in the camps and to try to get the music to the outside world and make recordings of music within the camps possible. Does that seem like a positive step?
Oh, thank you.
Well, that's amazing. This is actually the best way to get the message across to the rest of the world.
What songs particularly inspired you in the war years?
Of course, it goes without saying, the famous song The Sahara is Not for Sale is one of my favourite songs. It was a really moving song that affected many people. Many people left their families, their possessions, once they heard this song and joined the war.
It's the day of the regional cultural festival at Al Ayun, the refugees' so-called capital. The one tarmac road has been blocked off. There are carpets for the dignitaries and a roadside podium. And around me, a crowd of several thousand in their robes and headscarves. And at night, there's more music out in the desert and a chance for Andy Cools and his students, including Shia El-Wali, to show off the sound mixing skills they've learned during the week. Once again, I was accompanied by Mohammed Suleiman. So, Shayak, what is your job this evening? What are you doing?
I am
She's the supervisor of what is going on in the stage.
Good luck. Let's ask Andy. So how are your students doing so far?
They're doing great, yeah. They're coping quite well under quite a difficult pressure environment, I think. There's no real sound check, so it's like the musicians get on stage, they plug in, and then there's three different people shouting at them, saying, I want this up or down. And then there's someone else saying, we've got to get started. And someone else going, is this my vocal?
And we're on the edge of the desert here, which gives you extra problems, of course.
Yes, yeah, we've had to deal with the sand all week. It's been getting into everything. It's very Wild West, I guess.
So do you reckon they could improve the sound at concerts from now on?
Yes, definitely, yeah. They're definitely applying what I've taught them. So if they just remember that, they'll do well in future.
And now we give the awards for the members of Studio Live and Senator Patients as well.
At the end of the week, there's a party for those who completed the live music course. There's music, mixed by the students, of course, and then they're handed their diplomas.
Fatma Najib, Safiya Saleh.
Congratulations, Shayak, well done. So you've got your diploma.
It's good.
Well done, very good.
Yes.
I know you've been one of the stars of the course. I'm told you've done very, very well with your live sound. Are you going to keep going as a sound engineer? This is what you'd like to do now?
Of course, I will continue recordings. It's evidence that Sahrawi women can be capable of doing jobs like men.
Thank you very much. Congratulations. It was very nice to meet you.
Thank you. You're welcome in camps, and I hope in future see you in Sahrawi.
I hope so. Thank you very much indeed. I was lucky to have been able to visit the Sahrawis. In January, after my visit, Islamist militants stormed a gas facility across the desert in eastern Algeria, killing 37 foreigners. Since then, outsiders have not been allowed to travel to the camps, and the music project has been placed on hold for now. And this at a time when tension in the camps has been heightened by news of the lengthy prison sentences handed down by a Moroccan military court to over 20 of those involved in the Gedai Mezik protest over the border in Western Sahara. But this is a conflict the outside world seems to have forgotten. Maybe musicians can help to put that right. Studio in the Sand was written and presented by me, Robin Denslow. The producer was Victoria Shepherd. It was a Something Else production.